I will look forward to the next two verses of that in 2019. But if we follow the same pattern, so maybe we can come back to that a little sooner, Doc. But I read the, that's one of those where you read the text of the verse and you go, wow, somebody knew their Bible. Somebody studied a little bit. You know, they wrote the text to the song there. So, all right, let's find the book of Joshua, if you would, please. Joshua chapter 1 is where we'll be this evening. Joshua chapter 1. I don't know if this was a hint or an oversight, but Brother Stevens left me his outline here on the pulpit, so I think maybe he feels like I need a little help tonight. I'm not sure, so he's probably looking for it to file it, and it's not there. But anyway, I'll go with David's sling instead of Saul's armor, all right? Joshua chapter 1. Now after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, and he went on to give them some instructions. We'll read that later if we get to that point. I want to preach to you tonight just on this simple thought, with the Lord's help this evening, preparing to move forward. Let's pray. Lord, we pray tonight that your blessing be upon the preaching of your word. We pray, Lord, that nothing would be said that shouldn't be, that you'd guide everything that's said. Pray that you'd use your word to strengthen our hearts and help us to latch on to the promises and the strength of your word and to profit from it in Jesus' name. Amen. Preparing to move forward. Verse 1 gives us a setting. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. Okay? So the setting is Moses is gone. And, you know, we've preached from this passage before and kind of emphasized that aspect of Joshua's, you know, responsibility or, you know, as far as assuming the reins of leadership. But the scenario is this. Moses has died. They have spent a period of time mourning for Moses. But the options at this point are continue to mourn for Moses endlessly or go forward. Okay? God brought them out of Egypt to give them the land that He promised them. And God is saying, all right, you've had this period of time in the wilderness as my judgment. Moses is now with me. You've had a period of mourning, but now it's time to move forward. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass the Lord spake to Joshua. God, when He moves on Moses, has a Joshua. And now it's Joshua's job to lead the people forward. Now, there are equal parts excitement and maybe nervousness, fear, you know, excitement about the new things ahead and the promises of God. But I think it's pretty plain from the repetition here in this passage that there was a little bit of nervousness or fear on Joshua's part. Why do I say that? Three times God told him, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, be strong and of a good courage. And we'll get to that. But it's time now for them to move forward in the plan of God, in the promises of God. I think there's an obvious parallel for our church here, that in that we are looking to move forward with the Lord's pastor for us here and looking to move forward into the next step. But There's some things that I want us to notice here in Joshua chapter 1 about preparing to move forward. Number one, the commissioning of Joshua. Verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people. Okay? God had commissioned Joshua to take the lead role in this situation. We've been praying for a long time that God would give us His man to lead His church here at Maranatha Baptist Church. And when God has all of that prepared, you know, we've talked before about how God prepared him to be the leader by being Moses' servant, his responsibilities, the things that he observed and so forth. But now, it's Joshua, arise thou. Joshua, you go, you lead, and the people will follow. Now, there's obviously some nerves that go along with that, if he's got any sense at all. There's some fear. There's some maybe sense of intimidation about trying to fill the shoes of a Moses. But you know what? That's human reasoning. That's the way we think. And there's a certain reality to that. But the bottom line is God said, you go. I've got a job for you, Joshua. It's going to be some similarities, a lot of things that are different from what Moses did. But Joshua, here's all you need to know. I'm going to be with you. But God sent Joshua. Joshua, you're the leader. You're going to lead the people. And as Joshua obeyed the Lord, the people were following the Lord and they were blessed. I mean, my mind fast forwards to Joshua, you know, what is it, 6, 7, 8 along in there. I guess it's chapter 8 where 8 and 9 where the Gibeonites came and they didn't ask counsel of the Lord. And Joshua led them to do something that God didn't want them to do. That's why I qualify it. But as long as Joshua was seeking the Lord and following His instructions, the people would be following the Lord by listening to Joshua as he relayed the Lord's instructions. God put Joshua there. God's brought Brother Davidson to Maranatha Baptist Church. It's His design that he would be the leader here. It'll be different from Pastor Camp. It'll be different from Pastor Stevens. But that's what the Lord wants for Maranatha Baptist Church. And the Lord's prepared him and prepared us for the next step in the ministry of Maranatha Baptist Church. God said, Joshua, I have used Moses, now I'm going to use you. You arise and you get ready and you lead the people. And last part of verse 2, unto the land which I do give to them. I love the way it's phrased there. He didn't say which I might give to them, which I probably will give to them, or which I shall give to them in the future. You notice the way it's phrased there in the mind of God, this is a done deal. The land which I do give to them, the land which I have already given to them, the land which you could have been in 38 or 9 years ago if you'd listened. He said, I've already given it to them. And there's an important lesson there that I hope to reinforce as we go along here. But we have, first of all, the commissioning of Joshua. Number two, we have the comfort of God's promise. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Even from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. God gave him a promise in verses 3 and 4 about a land. He gave him a promise in verse 5 about the victory that they were going to give. And he gave him a promise at the end of verse 5 about the presence of God that would be with them. Do you see there the land that he was going to give them? Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. Now, if I told you God's going to give you every place the sole of your foot walks on, some of you'd be like, yeah, whatever. Okay? Now, some of you might just take a chance and say, well, if that's the case, I'm going to do a lot of walking. Okay? That's the attitude they should have had. Is if God's going to give me everything I'm going to walk, then I'm going to go walk. I'm going to go stake out a claim because God's going to give it to me. The promise is that every part of this land, as they would go from place to place, God was going to give that to them. You think about what he says there in verse number 4, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even under the great river, the river Euphrates, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun. Okay? You in your mind have maybe a map of Israel. If you don't, you might have one in the back of your Bible. But you know where Israel is situated. What sea is to the west of Israel? Right? Your direction's this way. Okay? To the west. Okay, it's the Mediterranean. All right? That was the great sea. Okay? From there to the great river, the river Euphrates. I mean, how much land are we talking about? We're talking about a lot more than modern-day Israel. Israel, Jordan, parts of Iraq and Iran, all the way over to the Euphrates River. We're talking about a huge chunk. That land was under the control of Israel during the time of Solomon. During the reign of Christ, he will reign from a throne in Jerusalem, and all of that will be subject to the king of Israel, the king of Jerusalem. But nonetheless, God said, look, I'm going to give you a whole lot. Now, they weren't ready to handle all that at once. There weren't enough of them to occupy that land and farm that land, and they had to grow into some of it. But they had the promise of God as it pertained to the land. I'm not going to try to spiritualize anything or make any unjust applications, but let me ask you this. What has God promised to us? What has God promised to you? I mean, if you do just a little bit of study, whether you take out a concordance or a Knaves Topical Bible or a Sword Searcher Bible program, something like that, and begin to search on the promises of God, we can find a whole lot of promises that God has made to us. I mean, one of my favorite promises through this time of transition from Maranatha Baptist Church has been Matthew 16:18. I will build my church. That God will take care of His church, that He will build His church. And we could go down the line and list promise after promise after promise after promise of God and say, look, God's made us some promises too. He made them a promise specifically about the land. But notice in verse 5, He gave them a promise about victory. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Now, you know, I like, whatever I'm doing, I like to win. Okay? Most of you are the same way. Okay? Very few people enjoy losing. Now, some of you are good parents, and you have adopted the attitude, it doesn't matter whether or not I win, you know, as long as my kids have fun and we have a family time together. I try really hard. I do, you know. But it's a whole lot more fun if you win. It just is. I've never understood that part. But, you know, nobody wants to win. And, you know, there's times when it's kind of boring if you go into a competition and it's not really a competition. You know, I like going into something knowing either I've got a great shot to win or as long as we don't just do something really foolish, we're going to win. Okay, that's fun. It's no fun to be on the other side of it where you go into this going, we've got no shot. I hope they just run the clock continuously and don't stop it for anything and get the beating over with, right? But God was giving Israel the promise that they could know going in, we're going to win. We know going in we are going to win. Now, humanly speaking, it didn't look that way. They looked at the cities and they looked at the giants and they looked at the difficulties and said, there's no way we can do this. Numbers chapter 13. God said, all right, fine. I won't make you. I'll let you die in the wilderness and I'll let your children go in and take it with my help. But God gave them a promise. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Now, we understand from Joshua chapter 6, 7, and 8, this was conditional. This was conditional as long as they were obedient to God. Because when Achan had sinned, and then they went off to Ai, they got beaten to smithereens by the little teeny tiny city of Ai. Because they'd been disobedient, they lost the blessing of God. But here, the promise of God is, there's no enemy that you're going to face that I can't take care of for you. You know, that principle is true for us today. Now, sometimes we say things this way. God won't give us anything more than we can handle. And while I understand what people are trying to say, when they say that, I think we ought to be more precise. In fact, I think in one sense the opposite is true. God will give you more than you can handle, so that you have to come to the place that Paul came to in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where he said, you know, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God does give us more than we can handle in our fleshly strength so that we learn to depend on Him. But in the context of if I'm depending on the Lord and trusting Him to do what I cannot do, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that there's no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, not suffering to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. And so that principle is true as well, that God will not put us in a situation that we, with His strength, cannot overcome. You understand the distinction there? So instead of saying, God won't give you anything more than you can handle, we should say, God will never give you anything more than you can handle with His help. You tag that on there, help straighten out your thinking, or keep our thinking in line. We understand here, He's saying that you'll not encounter any situations that you'll not be able to be victorious with my help. That same principle is true. Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 tells us that the believer died with Christ. And if we died with Christ, we also rose with Him. And because we rose with Him, we have access to that resurrection power. And because of that, we don't have to sin. We don't have to yield to that temptation. And Romans chapter 8 tells us He's given us a spirit of adoption. We can cry, Abba, Father. We can ask for help when we face that back and forth battle. But we can also go into our day-to-day battles, our day-to-day living for the Lord, our day-to-day work for the Lord, knowing God will not allow anything to come across my path that I can't handle with His help. There shall not any man be able to stand before Thee all the days of thy life. Then we see here the promise of God's presence. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. That's a mouthful. It is. I mean, God had magnified Moses in the sight of Pharaoh, in the sight of Egypt, in the sight of the people. But you think about it. God's power was with Moses to the point that He put His finger in the face of the king of the world, basically the king of Egypt, and said, God says you're going to let my people go. And when he said no, God brought enough punishment on him and demonstrated His power enough times that he finally cried uncle, or however you say that in Egyptian. And he finally said, all right, fine, you can go. And he had the power of God. When they got to the Red Sea, God was with Moses to the point that he held out his rod and the Red Sea parted. He was with Moses to the point that when Moses pronounced it at the word of God, manna came and quails came and all of these things. I mean, God had been with Moses. And God said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. You know what that last phrase reminds me of? Reminds me of a promise in Hebrews chapter 13. As he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God's made us the same promise, that He would not leave us nor forsake us. Joshua was promised the presence of God. So we see commissioning of Joshua. We see the comfort of God's promise that He will give us the victory, He will give us His presence, and that He will give us the content of His promises, give us, the land. Now I want you to see with me number 3, the command to be courageous. Verses 6 through 9, 3 times we have this same phrase, be strong and of a good courage. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Does God repeat Himself like we do sometimes because He lost His place? You keep repeating the last thing you said, hoping that the train of thought comes back around and you can jump back on it. No, God doesn't repeat Himself because He lost His place. God doesn't repeat Himself because He doesn't have anything else to say. God repeats things for our benefit, for emphasis, so that we will get it. Just like parents will give instructions. Now, son, here's what you need to do. Now, remember, you need to do this. And depending on the temperament and the nature of the child, it may be repeated 3 or 4 more times. Okay? Just like a teacher will remind a class. Now remember, this is the assignment, this is the way it's to be done. And the repetition is for their benefit, but 3 times he's told, be strong and of good courage. That makes me think that Joshua at this time didn't feel real strong. And he didn't feel real courageous. He felt, a lack of courage. And you know, it's not unspiritual to feel fear. It's not. Sometimes we get the impression, or maybe sometimes we as preachers will give the impression that if you ever fear, then somehow you must not be spiritual. That's not the case. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is obedience in spite of fear. It's pressing on in spite of fear. And Joshua here was feeling fear. Okay. Moses felt a little bit of that too. Well, they won't believe me. You know, who am I going to tell them sent me? You know, I tried that before and that didn't work, you know. And God said, look, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to take care of you. You just go down here and bring my people out. And time after time after time, there are characters in the Bible that experienced fear. It is not unspiritual to feel fear, but rather it is unspiritual to shrink from the promises of God or to shrink from obedience because of that fear. That's unspiritual, that's sinful, that is disobedience. When we allow that fear to control or intimidate us to the point that we don't obey what God's told us to do, that's wrong. But to say, boy, whew, I don't know about this. You know, that's a human emotion. That's a human reaction, and that's why we have the Word of God to straighten out our thinking. But it's interesting, in each of these cases, you have the same word here, be strong and of a good courage, be strong, very courageous, be strong and of a good courage. You could, if you rendered those words literally, you could say, be strong and be strong. Both of the words that are used here have the idea of to be strong or to strengthen. The first one, be strong, that's exactly what it means, be strong or to strengthen. The second one that's rendered here of a good courage has the idea of be strong or strengthen. It also has the idea of to harden. Okay? But it's repeating the same idea another way for emphasis. We do that frequently. It's amusing to me sometimes to think about what we say. I know a guy that talks about having this big, huge this or big, huge that. And that seems to me to be a little repetitively redundant. But sometimes we will try to come up with two different synonyms to emphasize the point that we're trying to make. But here's be strong and of a good courage. The idea of to be strong, it can be, you know, to be strong. It also has the idea of to strengthen. This was very helpful to me as I meditated on this and tried to figure out what in the world does that mean. Because the idea of to be strong, you can be strong by increasing your muscles, by, you know, your own physical strength. But there are other ways to strengthen something. You can strengthen a tomato plant by tying it off to a stake. You can strengthen a sapling tree by tying, a lot of times, a rope or a cord or a wire from two or three different angles to help it grow straight until it gets more established. That's the idea of to strengthen. It can be, you know, in your own self, or it could also be to strengthen by grabbing onto another. I want to illustrate this. It's Wednesday night. I need something to help some of you stay awake. So I'm going to use Tim, if I could use you, and Stephen, my son. Come here. All right, I'm going to use you to illustrate something here. All right, now, I'm going to use Stephen because this really is more a representation. We think, okay, we're the, you know, the strong young man. You know, the reality is a lot of times we're more the young one. All right, Stephen, come here. I want you to stand right here. I want you to make yourself just as strong as you can, and you're not going to move. All right, now, Tim, I want you, and take your hands out of your pockets here. I want you to grab his arm and try to move him that way. All right, can you do that? All right. Oh, didn't make it. All right. Now, is Tim strong enough to move Stephen? All right, now what can we do to get Stephen stronger so that Tim won't be able to move him or not as easily? I could feed him, but I'm doing that a lot, okay? I could put him in the weight room. How many push-ups have you done today? None, okay? All right. Or, you know, there's something else he could do. All right, now, you leave this hand towards Tim. Now, with this hand, I want you to hang on to Dad, okay? Now, just you can hang on as tight as you want to, all right? Now, Tim, I want you to try to move him that way. Let's see if we can make a human wishbone out of him. All right? Now, guess what? Stephen's feeling a little bit of stress, but he's not moving like he was before. All right? If he was a little shorter, I'd say you can do like kids do and grab onto Dad's leg. Okay? We won't try that. Okay? But you see the point. Stephen can make himself stronger by going to the weight room, Or he can make himself stronger by holding on to something else that's stronger than him or someone else. All right, thank you. Appreciate it. You can have a seat. We can be strong and of a good courage. It's not necessarily by trying to muster up something. It's rather just clinging with all I've got to the promises of God. It's to strengthen myself to be strong by clinging on to, hanging on to God. God's not going to move. David and other psalmists described God over and over again, that the Lord is our rock and our fortress and our strong tower and all of that. And when we don't have the strength, we run to the rock that is higher than us, right? And here, Joshua didn't necessarily have to muster up strength he didn't know he had, the power of positive thinking, but rather he could be strong by strengthening himself on the promises of God. Be strong and of a good courage. That term, good courage, also has the idea of to be strong or to be firm. It's used of Sihon in Deuteronomy 2:30, where he hardened his heart. He strengthened his heart. He made a firm purpose that he was not going to give in to the children of Israel, and they wiped him out. So that idea of courage is the idea of a determination to follow through. It's to set a resolve that I'm going to go in the direction that God has said. I'm going to cling to the promises of God and then trust God that He's going to come through like He said when He said, there's not any man be able to stand before Thee. As I was with Moses, I will be with Thee. Every place your foot is, that I'm going to give to you. So to be strong and have a good courage is simply cling to the promises of God. I want you to see here in verses 6 through 8 here, a couple of things. Be strong, verse 6, and of a good courage. Courage is needed for at least three things here. Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. We're going to need courage, or that resolve, that firmness of heart, that clinging to the promises of God, if we're going to cling to the promises of God and see them fulfilled. We're going to need courage if we're going to cling to the promises of God and see them fulfilled. Verse number 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, as thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. We're going to need courage if we're going to choose obedience to God's word. Okay? Here, he said, be strong and of a good courage, and he said, you're going to get the land. You're going to receive the promise of God. Be strong and of a good courage in order that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Of course, that's a reference to the portion of the scriptures that they had at that time. It's going to take a courage. It's going to take holding on to God. It's going to take that resolve of heart to follow the Lord. It's going to take that kind of a determination to choose obedience when we face our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. It takes courage in verse number 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. It takes courage to confidently move forward. It takes courage to confidently move forward. Don't be afraid. Be strong and of good courage. Just go forward and God is with you. Now, where does that courage come from? Do you order it from www.courage.com? You know, 1-800-COURAGE. Yes, I'd like to order 3 bottles, please. No, where does it come from? Verse number 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. It reminds me of what Jesus said, and it was recorded in multiple Gospels. He said, out of the abundance of what the mouth speaks? The heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He said, out of the heart, you know, proceed these things. But if this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, the idea is that there is scripture ready in your mouth, or at you know, it's close by. I mean, you say, well, I don't know if I can do that. I beg to differ. Now, the specific illustration would be different if I were to point to different people in this room tonight. But there are things that you talk about with no warning, no time to prepare. Okay, I can't tell you the first thing about the Philadelphia Eagles, but I bet Joe could tell me at least a little bit about that. okay, at the drop of a hat. I don't pay attention to any of those teams, okay? I don't know the first thing about life insurance and health insurance when it comes to, you know, telling people what the laws are and trying to advise them how much they need. Brother Birchwell probably dreams about that stuff at night because he deals with it all day, every day, right? He never set out to memorize those things beyond passing his exam. But when you spend a lot of time thinking about insurance, it tends to come out. So if I want to have this book of the law not depart out of my mouth, then I'm going to have to do what the next phrase says, thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Of course, we know the word meditate means to turn over. It means to ponder. It's the favorite illustration for a lot of preachers is that of a cow chewing a cud. That is, you put it in, then you bring it back up and work on it some more, and you bring it back up, work on it some more. And I realize, you know, that's not always the most pleasing etiquette to talk about. But the principle is this. Now, I think there's a better illustration. If you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. Now, that's not original with me. I've heard other people say that. But, I mean, I did finally put that thought together. I'm sure there are others that have said that. If you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. Because what is worry? It's rolling something over in your mind and this, and put it aside, and pick it back up and fret with it some more, and then put it down and pick it back up and think about it some more. I mean, if you can do that, you can take the scriptures and say, well, what does that mean? Wonder, Lord, how does that show me what I need to do? How does that apply to us? How does that teach us how we need to live with our family? To meditate, that is to consistently go back to. Okay? Those things are on our mind, are at the tip of our tongue day and night, that are on our mind on a regular basis. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. You notice that observing or meditating or pondering is not enough. It is observe to do. The ultimate end of all of that is obedience. It's to put it into practice. It's to do what we're commanded to. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, I've jokingly wondered if there's good success and bad success. But again, this is one of those points of emphasis. You'll have good success. You'll have much success. You'll have, you know, very pleasing success. Preparing to move forward. Joshua had a commission from God. He had the comfort of God's promise. Then he had the command to be courageous. We have the promises of God. We, just like Joshua, must be strong and of a good courage. We must choose to cling to the promises of God. So, and we must choose obedience to God and His Word, and we must confidently move forward in the light of God's promises. We must be strong and of a good courage. If we're going to move forward as Maranatha Baptist Church, just like Joshua and Israel here, we need to stake our claim to the promises of God and the presence of God and go forward with a courage and a determination to do the best we can do and let God work and trust Him that He's going to bless and that He will keep His promises, give us everything that He's promised. Lord, thank You for Your Word. I pray, Lord, that You'd help us as a church and as individuals to move forward. We'll thank You in Jesus' name.